Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. We are live tonight for the monthly PA update, but we will also be dealing with some other bits and pieces. We will also be discussing the recent nationalist by-elections. A lot of people have asked me to comment on this, discuss issues with it. But we didn't do that on the stream. We thought me and Laura would talk a bit about this, a bit about how PA would approach such things, and a bit about how we would basically go about fighting such by-elections, or how we would go about elections in the future. So, you know, that will be obviously quite an interesting topic. I should have put my phone on silent. My apologies. That's just telling me we are live on DLive. And we are live on DLive, we are live on Odyssey, and we are live on RadioAlbion.com. And tonight, if you would like to contribute to tonight's stream, the best way to do that is through Entropy. The Entropy chat is on Odyssey. The Entropy chat is also on DLive. And the Entropy chat will be dropped sporadically in those chats throughout the evening. You can send paid super chats, or you can ask non-paid questions. We will answer every paid or non-paid question tonight. If you get them in early, that would be very much appreciated. So we'll see how much time we've got to allocate to them. You can also send paid super chats directly through Odyssey as well by clicking the support button. So if you send a question with a donation attached through Odyssey or Entropy, we will answer that tonight live on stream. And if you send non-paid questions through Entropy as well, we will also deal with all of them. It is the monthly roundup, so we always answer all questions, paid or non-paid. So that gets through the little intro, and the first question of the night is, Laura, how are you doing?
Good evening, everyone. I'm doing very well, thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to the stream. This is my favourite stream of the month, where we get to showcase everything that PA's done. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and let's get straight into it.
Okay, well, the first big question of the evening is what happened at these recent by-elections. And there was two. There was the Wakefield by-election, and there was also the by-election in Tiverton and Honiton. We're just going to call that the Tiverton by-election. I'm not coming out with the full name of the constituency every time we're discussing it. But to put it politely, the results in these two by-elections were absolute disasters for the nationalist parties that stood, some worse than others. Some parties fared worse than others. I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive on how badly they did and why they did so badly. So I'm not sure about you, Laura. Which one shall I talk about first? Shall I talk about Wakefield or shall I talk about Tiverton?
Should we do them in the order that they happened?
They happened on the same day, I think.
Were they the same day? I thought Wakefield was after. Wakefield second.
Do Wakefield second, right. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to put in Tiverton by-election and we'll bring up the results and we'll bring them up from Wikipedia and we'll do a quick screen share. Now, I don't know if you know Laura, I'm sure you do, but your old friend from For Britain stood in this by-election, Frankie Ruffalo, and he got a meagre 0.3%. So if you actually look at this, it makes for quite depressing viewing. And I'm going to do a little bit of a zoom in so you can see this a little better, so you can see the actual facts on the screen. The winner were the Liberal Democrats, Richard Ford. He took 52.9% of the vote and he took 22,537 in total. He took this from a former Tory majority, so there was a massive swing towards the Liberal Democrats, which tells you just how unpopular Conservatives are at the moment. This was a Conservative majority. They had 60% of the vote at the last election, and they dropped to 38.5% of the vote. So it was a 21.7% swing against the Conservatives. Labour also polled badly. The Greens didn't do particularly well either. Both of them actually lost their deposits. So it wasn't a good night for Labour or the Greens. But let's have a look at the Nationalists, because four Nationalist candidates stood. You had Reform UK. And when we're saying Nationalists, we mean sort of right-wing anti-establishment party. So we're going to include UKIP in this. So you had Andy Fone, he stood for Reform, Ben Walker for UKIP, Jordan Donoghue Morgan for Heritage, and finally, Frankie Ruffalo stood for For Britain, taking a mighty 146 votes, or 0.3% of the vote. Absolutely disastrous. And when you look at all those results together, Reform, UKIP, Heritage and For Britain, you can see that in total, nationalist candidates took just 2.4% of the vote. So at a time when we are seeing massive economic issues, at the time when we're seeing real problems here in the UK, at the time when we're seeing serious issues with the government, with mass immigration. I mean, the census data has just come out and proved that the Conservatives have been an absolute disaster for the last 10 years. I think it's pretty telling when four nationalist parties stand and together, all their votes combined, comes to just 2.4%. And some of those candidates failed to get their deposit back, but some of those candidates, three of them, failed to even take 1% of the vote. That is pretty much disastrous. Now, do you have anything to say about that, Laura? Because obviously your best friend, Frankie Ruffalo, stood in that election. What do you think to that result? There was an article in Heritage and Destiny about this. Heritage and Destiny is a nationalist magazine published by Mark Cottrell. They said this was an absolute disaster. What are your thoughts, Laura, on this first by-election?
Yeah, Mark's calling Frankie Ruffalo my friend because we were going to debate each other. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago or something. And he agreed to debate me. And then his seniors told him not to do it. So the debate got cancelled. But that's the only like encounter I've ever had with him. Yeah, I like the fact that people are turning away from the Tories. I think that's a good sign. I think that it's a sign that people are fed up with the current system. And I'm glad that, you know, Labour are not doing amazingly either. I think for them to go to the Lib Dems, I think it is a sign that they're looking for something else. But obviously, nationalism isn't doing well when it comes to the ballot box. So that's something that we're going to address in more depth on this stream and, you know, break down various things.
Well, that was particularly bad. It was a particularly bad by-election. But in some ways, the Wakefield by-election result was even worse. Now, I'm going to bring up the results for the Wakefield by-election. And the Wakefield by-election has really is really very, very interesting. Now, Wakefield is a northern former Red Wall constituency that fell to the Conservatives. It's a place that could quite correctly be described as a working class area. And it's a place where a former Conservative MP who was of Muslim background had been forced to stand down as an MP because he'd sexually abused two young boys. So really, this seat has got everything that a nationalist candidate would want. It has an MP embroiled in scandal, a Conservative MP embroiled in scandal, an ethnic minority Conservative MP embroiled in scandal, and it is a scandal of a sexual nature. You would think this would be a place where nationalist candidates would do very well. A former Labour stronghold, and all of this scandal, a scandal that nationalists would be up in arms about, and an audience that used to be, very nationalistic. You know, you tend to get better votes for nationalists in this kind of area, in former Labour areas. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know the full history of the seat. It'd be interesting to look at former BNP votes in that area. But here, you saw Labour retake the seat with an 8.1% positive swing, taking nearly a majority, 47.9%. The Conservatives, who stood another ethnic minority candidate, Nadeem Ahmed, their percent of the vote went down to 30%, which was a 17.3% negative swing. They took just over 8,000 votes. And then you start getting down to the nationalist parties. And the nationalist parties here, we've got Britain First, who took 1.1%. That was a particularly disastrous vote, and I'll explain why in a minute. You've got the English Democrats. They took 0.5%. That takes the total to 1.6%. You've got UKIP, who got another 0.5%, 2.1%. You've got Jada Franson, who gets 0.1%, taking it to, what did I say the total was? You've got Reform. Sorry, you've got Reform UK. They got 1.9%. So you got 1.9%, 1.1%, which is 3%. You've got the English Democrats, 0.5, so that's 4%. And finally, you've got 0.1%, Jada Franson, 23 votes. Absolutely appalling. So yet again, the Nationalist candidates combined failed to take any, failed to retain their deposit. They didn't even reach the 5% threshold combined. And some of these votes are absolutely shocking. And I mean absolutely shocking. Jada Franson, 23 votes, 0.1%. That has got to be one of the worst parliamentary by-election results I have ever seen. And it's very strange because she's the leader of a party, which a certain old bitter nationalist is also part of. And he tells people that we shouldn't even be standing in elections, that electioneering is a waste of time. It's a grift. Raising money for election is just what grifters do, apparently. But Jada always stands, and 23 votes, 0.1%. Probably shouldn't have bothered, really. Pretty terrible. And Britain First is arguably just as bad. Now, on paper, you can see they're 311 votes, 1.1%. So you're thinking, well, at least they got into the triple digits. But Britain First were boasting during the election and before the election that they were spending £30,000 or more on this seat. £30,000, which works out at about £100 per vote. Now, it's quite a good way when you analyze this to look at value for money. So if you look at sort of other parties, I know the English Democrats didn't do particularly well. They got 135 votes, but I know they spent about £2,500. So 135 votes, not great. Certainly nothing to write home about, but they didn't spend £30,000 on the election, which is a huge sum of money and just throwing good after bad. So I would say, in a very real way, the Wakefield by-election result was probably worse than the Tiverton one. What do you think, Laura? This is an area where you'd think nationalists would do pretty well. This is an area where people would probably be more amenable to a nationalist message. And all the nationalist candidates put together failed to even gain 5% of the vote. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it's shocking, really, because like you said at the start, it's like it was almost set up for a nationalist to kind of swoop in and take control. When we did We Were Never Asked back in September 2019, on the day that we went out and surveyed the public, Mark and I actually went to Wakefield, and we got such a good result in Wakefield. I think the overall result was like 7 out of 10 people who said they don't want to become a minority, but in Wakefield it was like 95% of people who agreed with us. So I expected a better result in Wakefield because it is one of these kind of white working class areas, or a lot of it is, where it is people who would typically vote for a nationalist or a patriotic party. So it's really disappointing. Also, the amount of money that was spent, it's shocking. I mean, I was speaking to Mark earlier about what Patriotic Alternative could do with that kind of money. I just think that we could help to bring so many people over to nationalism and do so much good with it. And it's just wasted. It's just gone nowhere. And anyone who does, you know, get off their arses and go and stands in one of these things and does the work, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then I praise you. But I think a lot of people are doing it for the wrong reasons. And maybe we'll get into that as well if we have time.
Yeah, well, my analysis of this is pretty bleak. I think this is one of the reasons why people say elections don't work. There's no point standing in elections. That It's all over. The political road is closed off to us. And also, it's one of the reasons why nationalists do get down in the dumps, why nationalists walk away from these kind of things. I mean, if I was somebody who was green, if I was somebody who was really enthusiastic about Jada Franson, for example, I might be quite depressed about this. I might look at that vote and think, well, I donated 40 quid to your campaign or whatever, and you've got 23 votes. Absolutely appalling. I mean, if £2,000 was spent on that election campaign, it was £2,000 too much, because 23 votes is just, you know, truly, truly appalling. It's laughable. So this does make people depressed, and it does drive people away from nationalism. It makes nationalists look weak. You also have the problem that we discussed before, that in both of these by-elections, you do have numerous different parties all fighting against each other. But when you put together the scraps that they all obtained, even then, it's not even worth it, is it? It's not even worth it. It just looks appalling. So looking at all of this, I've got to say, it is disappointing, very disappointing. And as I said before, it will drive people away. It will demoralize people, because we do have a problem in nationalism. We have a problem that people come into nationalism, they expect results. They want results instantly. They don't just expect results, but they expect them tomorrow. And they think that all we need to do is put out a few leaflets, explain to people that we're against mass immigration, we're against government corruption, we're against child grooming gangs, we're against high taxes and globalism, we're against importing food when we could, you know, grow it ourselves here, we're against destroying the countryside. You know, you give all these points to the public and they agree with them, but that's not how it works. That isn't how it works. And what you've got here is the worst kind of electioneering. At the very least, you've got candidates that actually did nothing. They just put out a single leaflet, and at best, and this is at best, and it's not really a good way of electioneering, you've got people who turned up, pulled stunts, drove around in minibuses, shouted at people in town centres with loud hailers. That isn't going to get you anywhere either. That's not going to endear people to you. In fact, those kind of stunts are icing on the cake. If the elections are a cake and winning election is baking a perfect cake, you know, driving around in a minibus with a loud hailer attached to the top, that is the cherry on the top. It's not actual electioneering. It's not actually the hard work. It's not the actual substance of the cake. It's not really what makes the cake. It's more just decoration. And it's a way to bring in money, because some of the people who stood in this election, they will no doubt have used this election not as a way to propel themselves to electoral power, but to ask for lots of money and lots of donations. And they will have grifted hard off it. I'm sure their supporters got numerous emails, begging letters, letters through the post saying, you know, push candidate X over the edge. Help us make a loud noise in Wakefield. Make sure the nationalist voice is heard in Wakefield on Thursday. Donate just £50 to push us over the edge. Well, they didn't get over the edge. They didn't even get their deposit back. It was a disaster. So this is a mixture of bad electioneering and a grift, in my opinion, especially from the parties that were claiming they spent £30,000. You know, absolutely obscene. So what do I think about electioneering, and how do I think PA would do things differently? Well, in the past, the BNP never won a parliamentary by-election, but there was times when the BNP took over 10% in parliamentary seats. And I remember in Sedgefield, Tony Blair's old seat, that the candidate then took over 10%, and it caused absolute shock in the establishment that the BNP were getting those kind of votes at a parliamentary by-election. So how would I go about this? Well, for a start, I wouldn't be standing in parliamentary by-elections. Parliamentary by-elections are a waste of time. They're a waste of money. And you've seen from the results that I've shown you tonight that fundamentally, it doesn't matter whether you're CivNats, it doesn't matter whether you're UKIP, it doesn't matter whether you're Britain First with a loud hailer strapped to the top of the minibus, you're getting a rubbish vote. And it doesn't matter how much money you plough into it. 30 grand down the toilet and £100 a vote later, humiliation, 1.1%. So what would turn this around? What would make a difference? Well, firstly, these nationalist parties should not be standing in parliamentary by-elections. Parliamentary by-elections are a complete waste of time. And if one nationalist party does stand later down the line and has a genuine chance of doing well, and I'll get to how you get there, others should stand aside. So, for example, if Party X does what I'm about to tell you, then all the other parties should say, well, look, these guys have done the hard work. Let's not spoil their vote. Let's back away. And that's why I'm going to state boldly that when we get registered as a political party, we're not diving into these parliamentary by-elections. They're an absolute waste of time. They're a disaster. What needs to happen is genuine electioneering. And this is something the BNP did. And I said earlier that it takes a long time for a party to get established, and a lot of people want instant results. Well, the BNP, I think, was founded in 1981, and it took until 1993 for the BNP to get its first councillor. That councillor was unseated very quickly. And again, then it took until 2001 for the party to become a genuine electoral force. So other than the blip in 1993, for the party to become a genuine electoral force, it took 20 years, two decades. You don't get these things coming about quickly. They take a lot of hard work. An awful lot of hard work. And it starts with community. And that's why we've always pushed community first. Winning elections begins with community work. It begins at the lowest local level. It begins at city level or town level, becoming a councillor, or even lower, becoming a parish councillor or a community councillor up in Scotland. It begins helping local people and doing local work. And sometimes that work is boring. It can be litter picks. It can be cleaning up graffiti. It can be going round to areas full of elderly or needy people and dropping them on food parcels. There's lots of things that community work can be, but it's a lot of work and it's all year round. If you're going to win as a nationalist, you can't just turn up 2 weeks before the election with a minibus with some Union Jacks on top, a guy with a loudhailer peeking out the window, shrieking, and put out a leaflet and expect to win. You need to work all year round. You need to be knocking on doors. You need to be leafleting on local issues. And you genuinely need to marry local issues that are important to local people with your nationalist national policy. So the people need to know you're against immigration. The people need to know you're against globalism. But they also need to know that you're going to get those dog poo bins installed. They also need to know that you're going to fix the streets, that those dodgy streetlights near the park that don't work are going to have the bulbs changed in them, that you're not happy with the fact that there's no police patrols near the school playing field at night, and there's drug users leaving needles there, and it's a danger to the children. Those are local issues that only local people working within the community would know about. And when you're working within the community, you need to be at a range of community events. You need to be at community bake sales. You need to be at old people's bingo events. You need to do it all. And it's hard work. But that ingratiates you within the community. That ensures that local people are won over by you. And when you do stand in local council wards, you will then win. That's how the BNP did it. The BNP worked hard within local communities and started to win that way. Now, usually, constituencies are made up of around four council wards. And should a nationalist party take four council wards that make up a constituency, they are then in the position where they may well win a parliamentary seat. But you can't win a parliamentary seat without doing the groundwork. UKIP didn't do it, even at the height of their power. The BNP didn't do it at the height of their power. It is a very hard nut to crack. And unless you're doing the community work, unless you're doing the work at local level, you're not going to get yourself ingratiated within communities, get yourself trusted, get yourself liked. You're not going to prove yourself on the local council. If you don't do those things, you are never, ever going to advance to the next tier of politics. And there's this very naive view by some in nationalism that we can totally discount council elections. We can totally discount parish elections, community council elections, that we can discount city halls and town halls. And all we need to do is stand in parliamentary seats, and one day the people will wake up, be sick of immigration, vote us all in by massive majority, and we will sweep away every piece of left-wing agenda that dominates national and local government in one glorious, you know, month of change once we've been elected at parliamentary level. It's not going to happen like that. It's never happened like that for any party. There has never been a party that has just leapfrogged all local elections, just won at national level and imposed their will from the top down. It doesn't happen. It has to be built from the ground up. And I'll tell you this now, what I'm saying is going to be unpopular because it's going to involve two things. It's going to involve hard work, and the work that you're doing is not going to be glamorous. If you work in local communities, it is not glamorous going and arguing for more dog poo bins. It's not glamorous going to the old people's bingo night and, you know, calling out the numbers. It isn't glamorous doing litter picks. People within nationalism have always had this misguided belief that if they get elected at local level, they will stride into the council chambers, make a speech as if they were, you know, some 1930s master orator like Oswald Mosley. Everyone in the council will drop to their knees and say, why haven't we seen the truth of this? Or turn to dust like vampires who've just seen a cross. And the next minute, all the migrants from that town or city will be relocated somewhere else, and that town or city will be saved. It doesn't happen like that. It's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of reading. There's a lot of emails. There's a lot of meeting people. There's a lot of talking to people about small issues that you might think aren't important to you, but are very important to them. And that is why we are involved in a long struggle, not a short one. And I'm happy to say that I believe very, very strongly that Patriotic Alternative is different from every other nationalist group we've mentioned tonight. Because rather than us attempting to leapfrog every level of elected, every strata of elected official right to the top, we have actually started with community work. Now, Laura, we're going to show some community work in a minute and give an example of how we're working around the country. And then we're going to show you not just how we're working, but how many events we're holding every month around the community doing local work. And this is a big thing. And I would wager, I'm not a wealthy man, but I would wager a significant amount of money that there is not a single nationalist group in the country that has done as many activities in the last couple of months as we have. In fact, I'd go further. I would wager my most valuable and beloved computer game in its mint and glorious box on the fact that PA carried out more community-based activities in the last 2 months than every other nationalist party in Britain put together. And that's a bold claim, but it is a bold claim that I am so sure of that I bet my beloved computer game collection on it. And not only have I bet that, but I will prove to you that I am right in a couple of seconds. So what do you think to this, Laura? What do you think to my analysis on this issue?
Yes, I agree. And we've said from the start that this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And sometimes we do find that some people join us and then 6 months later we haven't secured victory and they're like, oh, I can't do it, and they drop out. But we've said from the start, we're not going to fix it in a year. We're not going to fix it in 5 years. We're not going to fix it in 10 years. It's a long-term thing. It's probably going to go on past our time in politics. And I think when it comes to elections, a seat will become available, and then people will travel there from all over the country, and it's like, oh, this guy who lives in the south is going to stand in this place. And you've only been there for the first time this month. You have no history there. The people don't know you. They don't know what you stand for other than what your party says they stand for on their website. And it doesn't work. And we want to do things a bit differently. We want people who are local to actual areas to know the community and for the community to know them. I mean, one example is we've got Tony Gurley up in Scotland, who's getting involved in community-based action in his area. And we're hoping to have more people, and we do have more people across the whole country. So yeah, I think it's a long struggle, but hopefully we can show you a lot of things tonight that we've been doing over the last couple of months, and you'll see what we mean. And like Mark said, it's not always nice stuff. Sometimes you want to just like swoop in and then have this big debate about immigration and be like, this is how I'm going to fix this area. But sometimes it is just picking up litter. It is talking about the bins. It is talking about something that's been taught in some local school. You know, this kind of stuff. It is quite boring stuff sometimes, but you need consistency. And then one other quick thing, which I'll say as well, is I think you need to be consistent with your message as well. And one side of it is the local stuff, but then the overall sort of like ethos and aim of your party or your movement also has to be consistent. And I think this is one thing that I struggle with some of the other patriotic parties. Britain First, for an example, they call themselves nationalists, but then they say things like, it's not about race, it's about space. It says that on their website. The other day they were complaining on Telegram, let me just find it, because Ashley Simon had been misrepresented by the Mirror. They said that she said, English people can't be black, English blood is white. And they were kicking off saying, she hasn't said that. And I was thinking, why are you complaining about that? Even if you haven't said it, it's true, English people are white. It sounds like you think that they're not because you're complaining about it. So I also think you have to be consistent with your message. And PA have done that. You know, we've not cooked on anything, we've not backed down on anything from day one. We're all about the British being the majority in our country, and I think that's also important. That's my thoughts. I'll pass it back.
Well, obviously I agree wholeheartedly, but I want to just show people how hard we are working and what we have built. And I think this is very important, because I bet my beloved collection on it. So here goes. This is a map of Britain, obviously, of Great Britain. It doesn't include Northern Ireland, but it's a map of just Great Britain. And it shows every event we've had from the 1st of May to the 30th of June. And as you can see, there have been multiple all over the country. Not just multiple, but I would say plenty. This is how active we are. And we're active in all sorts of politics. We are active in the small things, such as the litter picks. And we're going to show you something in a minute, some footage of our activists in Wales doing something quite remarkable. We are active in pushing back against the LGBT agenda, which targets children. We are active in pushing back against Drag Queen Story Hour. We leaflet on a range of different topics. We also do, as I said, we do the litter picks, we do the park cleanups, we do the Nationalist Soup Kitchen, we do the homeless outreach events. We are always doing different things like that. And then we're also holding wholesome family events that people are welcome to come to and get involved. I've been involved in these things. I've been involved in these litter picks where people have signed up on the day because they're so impressed by the work that we're doing. They're so impressed by what we are achieving. And I'm going to stop sharing this now because I'm going to show something to you. Now, this, what I'm about to show you, is not particularly glamorous. It's not something that the average nationalist would dream about doing. This isn't some tub-thumping speech. This isn't some incredible stunt. This isn't nationalists marching into Parliament and taking power. But this is the kind of local community work that makes people's lives better. And it's the kind of local community work that none of the nationalist candidates did anywhere in Wakefield or Tiverton. It was completely lacking in those places. Absolutely lacking. So I'm going to show you this and you can see what I mean. And I think you'll all agree that this is fantastic work.
Stop in Holywell, North Wales, was absolutely covered in these dodgy lefty stickers. There's Antifa ones, Yes Cymru fake nationalist ones, Black Lives Matter ones, all sorts of filth. and it's only a few steps away from one of Flintshire's most famous landmarks. St. Winifred's Well is only up the road from here. It's a big tourist spot in the area. You got loads of traffic and pedestrians passing by here, showing our guests and tourists who spend money in the local area that our council really don't give two monkeys about the place. And that's not the impression we're after, especially so close to a holy site like this. It was a sad sight to see, so PA Wales activists got up there, scraped them off, cleaned it up and chucked all of it in the bin. Now the locals can use the bus stop without having to look at that deranged nonsense. It takes a lot of effort to shift all these stickers. Some of them are paper and they come off with a good soaking. WD-40 has a great knack for breaking down the adhesives they use. The plastic ones are a bit more tricky. Some of these lefties in the past have hidden razor blades and needles under their stickers, so council workers or cleaners would cut themselves, or worse, whilst removing them. It's the same bunch of idiots behind all these stickers. Antifa, aka the state's useful idiots. I'll give you a hint, right? If the state platforms you, if it lets people like Owen Jones go on BBC, spouting their deranged ideas, then you are not radicals. You are not. You are the state's useful idiots, right? Get that straight. Then there's BLM, mostly just silly white kids who are desperate to be liked by blacks, you know? Do you really think that black people think, wow, look at them, oh, they're taking the knee, those stupid little student types, like, you know? And then you got Yes Cymru, you know? This is how dumb they are. They're supposedly nationalists. They want independence for Wales. They don't want to be ruled by England, but they want to be part of Europe. So they want unelected bureaucrats from Brussels to rule them. So they wouldn't be independent at all, you know? And here's the other thing is, they hate the English. They'll do anything to have a go at the English. They don't want the English having second homes in Wales, but they don't mind Wales being flooded with Africans and Asians, you know? Have you ever heard anything so dumb in all your life? Anyway, everywhere we see these bus shelters covered in this filth now, it's going to be cleaned up, okay? So don't waste your time. If you see anything like this in your community, drop us a message. The best way to contact us is at wales@patrioticalternative.org.uk. Patriotic Alternative are a community-based group that take pride in their nation and folk. We are known for our love for the land we've inherited from our ancestors, and we care deeply for our natural countryside. We've done loads of litter picks up and down the country on both large group events and small-scale jobs. Removing graffiti and rubbish stickers like these is just one of the activities we get up to look after and preserve our country for our children after us.
Well, I think that was very, very good. I think that was excellent. And I think Laura will agree that that's the kind of thing that doesn't receive the acclaim that it should, because it's not one of those things which is super mega interesting. It's not one of those things which you go home and, you know, tell all the kids about, or, you know, shout your mouth off about doing. It's not something that the average nationalist would get a buzz out of doing. You know, we're going to go and clean up a bus stop. But what an incredible difference that made. And what a great show to local people that somebody cares. The council wasn't doing it. Other local activist groups weren't doing it. Local politicians weren't interested in sorting it out, but we went and did it, and we did it for free. And then we put up a little polite notice saying that we did do that. That is the kind of thing that is happening all over the country. And it's the kind of thing that lays the groundwork for electoral victory further down the line. Now, we are not registered with the Electoral Commission. We are fighting that, and we will do our utmost to ensure that we are registered, because we do want to fight in elections. Not to get a derisory vote in some giant parliamentary by-election so that we can all, you know, fantasize about doing the unthinkable and raise tens of thousands of pounds and blow it on nonsense. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to make a difference. And we can make a difference without £30,000. Don't get me wrong. I wish we had £30,000 to blow on a by-election. I wish we had that kind of money. We don't. But you can see here that a big difference can be made without spending anything, with a little bit of elbow grease. And I can tell you now, 110%, those lads in Wales made a bigger difference in their local community without really spending a penny than any of those nationalist candidates did who stood in either Wakefield or Tiverton. And when you look at some of those votes, 23 votes, 0.1%, that will have still cost thousands of pounds. And I can tell you this, if we're making such an impact with so little, imagine what we could do if we had a bit more. We're not here to waste your money. We're not here to waste your time. And we're not here to throw you into the electoral meat grinder for zero results. We're here to make real change in people's lives and to build a real community. That is hard work. It will take time. It's not always glamorous, but the results speak for themselves. Nationalists have succeeded in the past doing it this way, and they can succeed again. But to succeed, we need everyone on board, everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, and we need to ensure that we stick to our principles and that we don't give in at the first disheartening sign. Because I can tell you now, as I said earlier, there'll be plenty of nationalists who dropped out or gave up after these results. And that is not what we want. We don't want to leave people feeling depressed. We don't want to leave people feeling sad or that there's no hope. There's plenty of hope. To achieve results, you have to go about it the right way. Laura, I'm going to let you have the last say on this, and then we are going to switch topics.
Well, I'll just finish this segment by saying well done to Pierre Wales. And obviously that was Joe in the video. However, Pierre Wales is run by Ross, so they're doing really great work over there. And it's just really impressive. You know, Mark and I never know that this stuff is going to happen. We have 11 regions across Britain. They organise their own activities, and we just see the stuff popping up online afterwards. So it's like a litter pick or, you know, some donations to an old people's home or an area has been tidied up or homeless outreach is done. And it's just amazing to see it all coming back every day. And it's just consistent as well. And these people do it, spending their own money and donating their own time. And they very rarely get any thanks for it or anything back in return. So I just want to say well done to Joe and Pierre Wales for that.
Okay, now we're going to bring in our first guest of the night before a few announcements. It is Kenny Smith. And
hi.
Kenny, we've got to throw out some congratulations to you on that map of busy PA groups. Scotland was extremely busy, so well done for your hard work in that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. PA Scotland is always busy every month, and not so busy in my branch area, I have to say, but we've got a big spread of area. But we one of the little dots there at the top, that was us in Highlands. But, it's great to see so much activity going on everywhere around the country. We do put all the other organisations to shame.
Now, the reason we've got you on tonight is not to talk about electioneering, but to talk about something very important. We've obviously done a great job of helping to build nationalist businesses. And this is very, very important because nationalists do spend money. We should spend money within our own communities. We should spend money on other nationalist products produced by nationalists, because that way we take money out of the globalist system and we're not handing money to these big corporations that often hate white people and push all manner of degeneracy upon us. So, Kenny, tell us a bit about your business. You've started a book publishing company called Claymore Books. We reviewed one of those books last Sunday on the PA Book Club. Tell us a little bit about it and give an introduction to our audience on Claymore Books.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. Really enjoyed being on the PA Book Club at the weekend there. It was a fantastic show. And I was really, afterwards, just so pleased that everybody had taken so kindly to the book. We have wanted to get a book publishing company set up in this country for a wee while now, and it wasn't really happening. So we just bit the bullet here in Scotland and got it done. I've got a fantastic small team, a fellow in Wales, a couple of guys up here in Scotland, Gordon Freeman and Inextinguishable, who you guys will know, regular contributors to the website, and Bill Atheling down in Wales. And we're all just determined to get books back into the public domain that'll help nationalists in the struggle. As you guys are aware, a lot of nationalist titles have been removed from Amazon, from eBay, from pretty much everywhere. So we wanted to get some of these things back into circulation, but also a view to having more educational stuff. And the Hammer of the Patriot, which we reviewed there on Sunday, was the ideal book to start with, because it has helped a lot of people who stream online become more effective and who debate online. Folk who go onto social media, onto, you know, the few that's left on Twitter and Facebook and any of these other places. It's a really dynamic book that contributes to the fight. And I think your introduction tonight actually fits perfectly in with the second book that we're about to release. It should be going up on the website any day soon. How It Was Done by Stephen Smith, who is one of the most inspirational local organisers British Nationalism has had in modern times. He started off as a branch organiser in Burnley, and within the space of a few years, they had 8 elected councillors. They put Burnley and the BNP on the map. I think until they had got their first 2 councillors, we'd only ever had 1, Derek Beacon in the 90s down in the Isle of Dogs. And then Steve and his team managed to get somebody elected through just pure hard work and determination, community politics, the stuff the PA is selling. And in the end, they were such a massive threat. You know, they were getting talking about in Parliament, and all sorts of initiatives were put in to stop them, but they continued to grow and grow. Unfortunately, the leadership of the BNP at that time, I think, probably felt threatened by Stephen and the success he'd had, and kind of scuppered them, which you'll read about in the book. But it's a book also that like Hammer of the Patriot, will help and educate nationalists about community politics and winning back the community, which is what it's all about for us.
Laura, obviously you are the queen of nationalist businesses. Do you have any questions for Kenny on this?
Yes, I have 2 questions. Number 1, where can people go to buy the books from Claymore Books? And number 2, do you have any other books planned in the future at Claymore Books?
Yeah, I am very rubbish at shilling for Claymore Books. There are days I forget to put adverts up and stuff like that. So we've got a website, which is claymorebooks.co.uk. We've also got a Telegram channel where we try and keep people informed about things. So that's the best place to come direct and support the movement. We have got more titles in the pipeline. The most exciting one for, I'm sure, listeners tonight is a book we are going to be calling Grandma Towler's Cakes and Bakes. A lot of hard work in. I think, Laura, we've got the final bits and pieces from some of the recipes and methods that were outstanding. There's just a couple of photographs we're looking for people to send us in, maybe higher quality images. We're very close to having a test press on that, which is really exciting, because there are just, you know, so many people contributed to this book. It's incredible. The pictures look amazing. We keep looking at the pictures and wishing we'd had a taste of this stuff. They just look incredible. So yeah, that's a big exciting one. But we've also been given permission. I know Mark will remember a great nationalist who sadly passed away last year, John Bean, who has four titles, and his family have given permission for us to republish his work as well, which is fantastic. There are quite a few other titles on various things that we've been going through. It Extinguisher has been with us today, and we've been working hard on a few other projects, and there's a lot of really amazing stuff coming in the pipeline. The website looks a bit barren at the moment. There's one book, Steve Smith book, should be up in the next 4 or 5 days, and then hopefully we'll have a little flurry. We'll get Cakes and Bakes out, and then we'll have a little flurry of other books.
Superb. Well, thank you for joining us, Kenny. And also, if you want to see our book review of the first book published by Claymore Books, please check that out on the Odyssey or BitChute channel. So thanks so much, and I'll see you again soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Kenny.
Okay, now, we've talked a lot of serious stuff earlier, and this isn't something that isn't serious, but it's something that is more glamorous and more fun. You've got to remember, a Patriotic Alternative is primarily a community building group, but we're also an advocacy group, and we like to raise awareness. So we want to raise awareness of a couple of things shortly. So I'm going to throw it over to Laura, because there is a protest this weekend in York that Patriotic Alternatives Yorkshire group are all going to. Laura, do you want to tell us a bit about the protest over in York and which amazing nationalist is going to be giving the keynote speech there?
Yes. So let me just find the thing that PA Yorkshire have posted. Sam keeps posting it on the PA Yorkshire channel saying, if you're in Yorkshire and not attending this, what are you even doing? But yeah, there's a demonstration. In fact, if you just go to Patriotic Alternative Yorkshire, I'll post a link now on Odyssey and DLive. If you go to our Telegram channel, you can find all the details. But it's not a PA event, but anyone's welcome to go. So some people from PA might be going or some might not. And there's people from other organisations as well. And the topic is, so it says, this is our time to say no to illegal immigration and no to migrant camps across the UK. And it talks about how much the taxpayer is spending on it. Obviously, at PA, we're not just against illegal immigration, we're against legal immigration as well. But I'm not sure I'm allowed to say who's speaking. Am I, Mark? Is it a little bit secret, maybe, still? It's not me. I think
everyone knows who's speaking, from the person who's most enthusiastic about it, who you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, but someone else is speaking who doesn't know that he's speaking, and I'm not sure.
Oh, well, let's keep it. Look, just go to the protest if you can make it. Look, protests are still important, and so are other forms of pro-white advocacy. We're not saying there's no other things that we should be doing. I was just telling you earlier how you go about winning elections. And also, everything doesn't have to be hard work. And sometimes the odd protest or banner drop is something that is great for team building. It's morale boosting. It's fun to do. And I would say that you should certainly attend those as well, because obviously all work and no play makes for a dull life. And I do think the odd protest or the odd banner drop and other things are good. And talking of banner drops, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be getting an email if you're signed up on the PA website. Obviously, White Lives Matter Month is coming up, and very soon Laura will be changing over all the banners on the site, because we are going to be going full on for August. We want you to come out with all your stunts, your best banners, your posters, your stickers. Do as much as you can. We got 300 different activities last year. Don't know if we're going to get that number again this year. But if you can be involved in it in any way, please, please do your best. I'm going to be making some publicity material for that next week. It will be up all over online. Just get involved in any way you can. What's your thoughts on White Lives Matter Day? I hope you've got something good planned this year.
I'm so excited.
Made an amazing banner last year and it went mouldy.
Me and Sam now have a shared calendar, because he keeps planning to do stuff when I've got streams, which means I have to have Catherine during streams, which is annoying for everyone who has to listen. But we have a shared calendar, and I see that Yorkshire have planned a full day to do something. So I don't know what they're doing, but I think they are doing something big, and I'm really excited to see what it is. But yeah, last year we had over 300 signs or stickers, or, you know, people contributed all different kinds of things. This year we're hoping to at least match what we did last year. I'm not sure if we'll beat it. I mean, we have grown, so we should beat it. But please do something for Indigenous Peoples Day. Even if you just hold up an A4 piece of paper out in the middle of nowhere and blur your face and send it into us, that would be amazing, because we just want quantity. We want this massive show of force so people all over the world can see how many people are standing up and saying White Lives Matter. So some people will do massive stunts, and I'm excited to see what people do, because obviously Ben Nevis won last year, and are Scotland going to retain the trophy this year, or is another region going to take it off them? But no matter how small, if you think it's rubbish, it doesn't matter, just do it. Please contribute something. Everyone watching this stream can contribute something. I'll do something. Grandma Towel is going to do something. We're all going to do something. Mark's going to do something. So please get involved. We just want to make it absolutely massive. And this year, I don't know how I'm going to organise it, because last year, me and Sam sat up for, it took us 48 hours to upload all of the pictures onto our social media accounts and onto our website. That's how many there were. So we're going to have to try and organise something this year to make it go a bit smoother. But please get involved.
Okay, yes, please do get involved. Also, if you're watching on Odyssey is doing my head in. I've been having problems with it for a couple of days. Now, apparently this is just me. For some reason, it won't play in Chrome, but it will play on my phone. It will play in Firefox, but not on Microsoft Edge. If anyone knows why it's doing my head in like this, it is absolutely killing me. It didn't do this before. It's driving me up the wall. Anyone that can figure this out, because when I'm streaming, this is a total pain in the butt. But if you can figure out why my Odyssey is doing this, I will be forever in your debt. Well, I won't say forever in your debt. I'll buy you a drink and a cheeseburger. And I mean that. Yeah. If you can make sure, if you can get my streaming working as it used to do on my PC, cheeseburger and drink on me. There you go. So we have now done all of the more national stuff. So let's go local, because we've got two regional organisers waiting here. We have Cornelius from, or two representatives. We've got Cornelius from London and we've got Fraser from the southeast. So let's bring these guys in and introduce them and say, good evening, fellas. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Laura. Hello, all those watching.
Good evening. Who wants to go first?
Well, hello, Laura.
Good to see you, bud.
You can do the heavy lifting in this bit. I've spoke a lot, and you've not really had much of a chance tonight, because I was talking sort of deep election stuff and 20 years of knowledge in this game. So I'm going to let you take this away, and I'm going to wrestle with my computer.
Okay. Well, I'll come to Cornelius first, because I've just seen that PA London have seen a topic that's been making the rounds this week, and you've headed straight there, and you've done a banner outside the college straight away. Could you tell us a little bit about what it was that you did today?
Yeah, there's a college not in South London called Haberdashers Ask, and a parent had a child come back talking about race and gender. So you can just imagine the sorts of things which they've been talking about. Well, we had the BAMED just about 2 months ago, and these sorts of ideas are coming through in schools, teaching children white privilege, that there's such thing as white privilege, and bringing with it white guilt. So anyway, the parent went to the school and wanted to find out more. They wanted to see what was in the lesson, and they clammed up. They wouldn't provide the information about what's going on in the lesson. So this is being done to children surreptitiously. Parents will go to the school and the school isn't going to tell them what's going on. You know, you've got to listen to your child, see what the child is saying, what are they coming home with, what sort of ideas are they arriving home with. And you know, this brave parent went to the school and confronted them by this, and now she's fighting for the legal right to know what the school's teaching her children, and fighting for the right for all parents, I think, to know what the schools are teaching or indoctrinating the children with. So we went along with a banner, and I think most people can imagine the where the inspiration was. "Hey teacher, leave our kids alone," was our banner. So we went and protested there. And we have the pictures on the Patriotic Alternative London Telegram channel. And that's been reposted onto the PA official Telegram channel. So if you're not on those, then subscribe now.
Yeah, so just to confirm, if people haven't followed this story, the school have refused to give the parent information about what they were teaching the child. I mean, the absolute balls for you to say to a parent, no, we're not going to show you what we're teaching your kid. We're keeping it secret. So PA London heard about it, headed straight down there. They've done a protest raising awareness about this issue. And I love that our regions are doing this now. You know, something happens like the drag queen story hour in Wales. They're straight there. Something happens at Migration Yorkshire. Yorkshire is straight there. And London followed through this week and did it as well. Shall I go straight over to Fraser, Mark, or do you want to ask anything to London? Oh, Mark's still doing something. So I'll ask.
Wait a second. Somebody in one of the chats, I can't find him now, said you need to clear your cache on. Said you need to clear your cache. And whoever said that, it works. You've done it. It's fixed. I've cleared the cache. And my Odyssey is now working on everything. So I can't see who said that because everything was flying past. But the person who said that, I hear you're a drink and a cheeseburger. I've got to say, I'll sleep easily tonight. But I do have a question for Cornelius, and it's really some praise for Cornelius. I've got to say that recently there was a protest in Dover, and the protest in Dover was against mass immigration. And you went down there, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And so we met up with lots of different nationalist groups. Steve Laws, I must give him a shout out. He was key in organising that. And we met up with him. He's a great guy. And yeah, we met up with people from various groups, including some that you previously mentioned. And it was a good spirited event, and it was a great opportunity to fly the flag, so to speak, and to get our message out there.
Well, you're being very, very modest there, Cornelius, because...
Yeah, that's how Mark described it earlier.
I was really bigging you up to Laura. The fact is, you went down there with a monstrous banner, an absolutely massive banner, and by the end of the protest, it might as well have been a PA protest, because you were the only one who thought of taking a giant banner. And if you hadn't taken a banner, then there wouldn't have been any banner telling the public what the protest was actually about. Imagine that. There's hundreds of people turned up for a protest, but no one's actually taken anything to say, hey, this is what we're protesting for. But you did. You did. And it looked amazing, my friend. It looked amazing. It captured the imagination of everyone. And all over social media, people were saying, it's PA again. PA are at the forefront. They're down in Dover. They're here, they're there, they're everywhere. Another fantastic event with another fantastic PA banner. And it was down to you, Cornelius. And I've got to say, you are very, very good at taking the initiative. And you also did this at the Cenotaph. Now, I liked Remembrance Day because we had Remembrance Day events all over the country. But yours, you know, without being crude, you must have had balls the size of space hoppers when you went down there. You just went to the Cenotaph, all of the mainstream politicians, right in the centre of London, surrounded by police officers and anti-terror and all of them, and you just whacked out this huge PA banner. Fantastic. So just want to give you a big thank you for all that hard work. Feel free to add something to my to what I've said, but you don't have to if you don't want, but I just wanted to say a huge thank you.
Brilliant. Well, they were great days, and having an opportunity with PA to do this sort of work is great. And I recommend that anyone who's listening, who's a true nationalist, who wants to get involved, they have to get involved with PA, get in touch with your regional organisers, and take initiative. It's all about taking the initiative to make the change.
Also, the Lee Rigby memorial that you did as well was really touching. That was one of my favourite events. So I'll come over to Fraser, because Fraser is our regional organiser for the South East. Hey, Fraser. How's it going?
Oh, good evening. I'm doing great, actually. I think it's my second PA stream, so I've had a bit of time to work out any audio issues from last time, but I think it's all right now. But yeah, it's been an interesting month. I mean, especially more at like the regional structure level, because we've been able to take on several local contacts like properly. Now, I mentioned them previously on stuff to put on the previous graphics, but now that they're there and we've already had our first council meeting, we can get more local stuff happening, you know, all across the region. And because it's such a large region, you know, people have to spend quite a bit on fuel getting to events sometimes. So having stuff in their local area, you know, on more local issues, more social events. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
So it's not really a question, but I just wanted to thank you really and say that I think you've done an amazing job with the Southeast. Because obviously the Southeast was actually up and running quite a long time ago with our previous regional organizer, who was Theo, and then he stepped away for personal reasons, and then he just left this region kind of, there was like people who were interested, but we didn't have anyone to organize it. And recently you took the reins in the Southeast and you've whipped everyone into shape. You've got people through the vetting system, you're holding events, you've got people in officer positions, you've got your social media profiles posting regularly. It's just, you've done such an amazing job. And I think to take over when it's kind of half done, you know, when someone else's work is kind of there and just to hit the ground running like you have done, it's amazing. And obviously all of our regional organisers and officers and activists do this in their spare time for free. None of us get paid for it. And I just think you've done a really amazing job in the Southeast. So I just wanted to say thank you and congratulations for all of your achievements so far.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I think most of the job is really sort of, well, it's the networking side. There are people around the place who want to help. They want to, you know, they have these various skills, you know, from, you know, basic trade skills or, you know, all the way to technical skills and all of that. And they want to help, and the enthusiasm is there, but it's just about them finding the pool of good people to do it with. And it's just connecting people. And that's what I've been enjoying doing the most, because there's such a wealth of people down here.
The Southeast is the region that we get the most inquiries for through the website. Are there more people living in the Southeast than any other region? I thought it was all quite spread out, but does it have a large population?
It's a bit of a mix. It's quite densely populated down here, especially you know, compared to a lot of northern areas. We obviously have a lot of rural areas too, but yeah, it's quite a lot of people down here. But it's also, think of like the political demographics down here, it's also, I would argue, more liberal down here, but in the sort of like middle class liberal kind of side. So it's got its ups and downs in terms of, so there's a lot of people, but then maybe not, you know, our guys. You know, it depends where you are. You know, a lot of places are better than other, you know, places.
And do you guys have anything planned for Indigenous Peoples Day next month? Maybe you can't tell us.
I can't say. you know, keep it secret.
yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for both joining us tonight. We're now going to do the monthly roundup, so we'll let you guys get off. It's been wonderful meeting you, and I hope the audience enjoyed meeting you too. Thank you both for all your hard work and your contributions, and I look forward to seeing you both in person at future events.
Thank you both. See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, so it's now time for the monthly roundup of all the different activities we've done. Then we're going to do the questions and answers. Remember, if you want to contribute to this stream, please use Entropy or contribute directly via Odyssey. You can contribute via sending a paid super chat or just by asking a question, and we'll answer all questions later today or later this evening. So let me tee up the PA slides and we will do what we usually do and go through them in alphabetical order. Do you want to start, Laura, or do you want me to start?
I'm happy to start.
Do Can you read it?
Yes. So this is PA East Midlands. So camping, community members gathered for a camp, barbecue food was enjoyed by all. The East Mids actually made their own barbecue as well, which is really impressive. Leafleting, our activists were out in the rain distributing leaflets in West Hallam. The historic village, like many others, is under threat from demographic replacement and overdevelopment. As part of our shared history, we have a responsibility to look after the places our ancestors built for us. They also went to Kinder Scout. So last weekend we did a fitness hike to the top of Kinder Scout via Grindsbuck Cloth. I think that's how we say it. Our activists rose to the challenge, scrambling up the rocks on the ascent. And in July, we'll be keeping up with the monthly fitness sessions. Do you know why they've taken a photo of that street name, Mark?
No, I haven't. No, I don't.
It was from drama. Do you remember that guy in the video? He was like, "You're in Peveril now."
No, I don't.
Oh my god, it was like one of the most iconic moments of drama. The video where the Southwest activists were leafleting and that Jeremy guy came out, the Labour.
Oh god, him! Yeah, yeah, I remember, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that's East Mids. Well done, guys.
Okay. Well, the next one is, doesn't actually say, oh, Eastern Region. They visited the magnificent city of Ely and toured the cathedral. The top activists in Eastern Region were awarded their drama gold badges. Yeah, they had an awards ceremony. They scattered wildflower seed pods along the riverbank. That's fantastic work. Mark and Laura recognised the hard work of Eastern and undertook for drama. Yeah, we sent thank you cards to everyone who had done such hard work. Some of our activists enjoyed a weekend break to Loch Lomond. Absolutely fantastic. And their book club reviewed this classic work, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Excellent. Well, Laura, here is this one. Which one's this? This is London.
Yeah, I hope if anyone's listening from PA Eastern as well, I also made them two trays of brownies and blondies to say congratulations for winning drama. I hope you liked them. I'm a bit of a newbie to baking, but I thought I would send you something down. So this is PA London. So they had a fitness and a self-defense session in the park. One of our activists threw himself right into the PA fitness challenge. They went to the Dover protests with groups from across the right. So that's what Cornelius just spoke about. The bottom right there, we have the banner drop at Hatcham College. And they had a barbecue and music session with activists from London, South East and Eastern playing traditional folk music. So that is PA London.
Thank you very much. This is the North East. They've got a lot of text, so I'm reading this one. PA activists were out in the village of Cleedon, leafleting and bringing the message preserving our native species and countryside. It was nice to see many houses showing some form of patriotism. And with the sun shining, we encountered positive reactions as we delivered our leaflets. That is amazing. PA activists were out this afternoon leafleting Gateshead. Our dedicated activists successfully delivered 800 leaflets. Great thanks to all who made this a success. Happy summer solstice at the weekend. Northeast and Yorkshire activists attended a very special ceremony hosted by the Odinist Fellowship. We hailed the gods and goddesses, as well as our ancestors, family, friends and folk. Having a sense of spirituality is important in our struggle and makes us more determined to secure a future for our children and our children's children. Fantastic. Activists from the West Midlands, Northeast and Yorkshire joined the Northwest for a challenging hike and scramble on Helvellyn in the scenic Lake District. PA activists headed to the picturesque coastline near Marsden Rock and Souter Lighthouse to litter pick. We received warm smiles from the public as we cleaned up the beauty spot. Following the litter pick, we visited the caves in Marsden Rock and treated ourselves to a meal afterwards. PA take environmentalism seriously and do what we can to keep our countryside free from rubbish. PA Northeast met up this afternoon in the beautiful city of Durham for a litter pick. We were thanked by members of the public and one lady got involved and picked up a handful of rubbish for us. We enjoy making our town, cities and parks and beauty spots cleaner. And it always receives warm praise. After our cleanup, we enjoyed a wholesome pub meal and chat. Absolutely fantastic work. The kind of community politics we were talking about earlier. This is the Northwest.
Yeah, do you know what? I actually do find that when we do litter picks, quite often members of the public join in with you, don't they? It's quite it's quite a wholesome thing, actually. So this is a Northwest graphic made by Sam, if you see any mistakes. So Northwest started the month with a hike up Blackstone Moor on the Yorks Lancs border, banner drop and meal afterwards. We also joined four other regions for a fun scramble up Helvellyn and Striding Edge in the Lake District, a fantastic networking opportunity and great day out with fellow nationalists. Activists in the Northwest held two homeless outreach events in Manchester and Liverpool. So these are both Labour strongholds, yet they have incredibly high numbers of homeless. And then he's wrote, curious, dot, dot, dot. We've seen that the government is willing to spend millions every day to house people without a home. Who knew there was such an easy solution to homelessness? Exactly. Maybe fewer handouts for fresh off the boat third worlders and more of a focus on our own people. All right, they don't even believe we are a people. So that's Sam's graphic for the Northwest.
Sam needs to up his graphic game. Next, we've got the mighty Scotland. A good month for hiking with five taking place. Berwick Law, I can't even pronounce that, Ben something, the Cobbler, and one in Morrishire. Plus another one with the North East lads. Amazing. Mid-Scotland branch fitness session. PA Talk goes from strength to strength. Five articles on the PA website. Two leafleting session. The community chat's got four new members. An excellent new media video from the media team called What is Scotland Without the Scots? And they've announced their second Scottish conference for the first Saturday in October. So if you want to go to that, contact Kenny Smith or one of the Scottish lads. Superb work. Now on to the Southeast.
Yes, so Fraser actually made this graphic for the Southeast, which I think is brilliant. It's better than my graphics. But yeah,
Beat Sam a thing or two, Kenny Laura.
Look how funny that is. So at the beginning of the month, we held a social event in the beautiful wooded village of Chilham in Kent. The change of pace allowed our guys to relax and have better quality conversations. So we brought on two new local contacts, one for East Sussex and the other for Surrey, which brings our region up to four counties with local contacts, as shown on the map below. Also, our regional structure is maturing as we have started having weekly regional council meetings. And then there's a little map with four local contacts that they have down there now. So they've got half of them, haven't they? Half to go.
They have. Excellent work and great expansion there. Now the Southwest. On the 20th of June, the good people of PA Southwest enjoyed a hike along the beautiful South Devon coastline. Starting in the pretty seaside village of Hope Cove, we made our way along the southwest coastal path to Bolt Tail. Archaeologists on the stunning Bolt Tail promontory have unearthed a number of flint tools which date from the Mesolithic period. After unveiling our banner, we turned inland to make our way through to rejoin the path back to Hope Cove Village. Back at the village, we round off the day perfectly with a well-earned Sunday lunch at the pub. Fantastic. On the 11th of June, Patriotic Alternative Southwest were out doing a litter pick around the parks of Taunton, cleaning the park of litter and enjoying the mostly great weather. With the park and its surrounding area cleaned, we filled the bin bags to the brim and concluded our work afterwards. We let the nearby locals know who had gone out of their way to clean their park. Finally, we all got ourselves a quick drink and had a good, friendly chat. On the 24th of June, PA Southwest community members got together for a night of Skittles. Fantastic fun. Lots of laughs along the way. Partners were pitted against each other, as well as under five and over 50s intense men. Sorry, under the over 50s and intense men versus women matchups. We're forging a great community here in the Southwest with numerous events taking place each month. Join us and be part of what we're building. And they welcome three new members, one of which joined us on the South Devon hike, bringing our total vetted members to 32. Fantastic. And here's Wales for you, Laura. You get the one where you can't pronounce anything.
I don't like getting Wales because I can't read their words. Okay, so visited a Neolithic tomb dating back over 6,000 years in South Wales and dropped our new fancy built by Britons banner. Took a weighted march up a local mountain range this month and snapped a few pics. Started off our Stop Drag Queen Story Hour campaign, yes, by leafleting numerous areas planning to host these sordid and Weimar-esque events. Am I allowed to say that? Made a point of clearing up some rubbish whilst on a casual hike in the good weather. Had several new video submissions to the PA Wales Odyssey Library, including both our Cardiff roadside protest and the graffiti one that we've just seen. Paid St Fagan's Museum a visit down in South Wales and were, of course, disgusted by their obnoxious and irrelevant BLM display in a Welsh museum. They had a slap-up six-course meal. We blew the hinges off the door this month with buckets of White Lives Matter drop a rock submissions. Joe paid a visit to, Nanty Moel. Nanty Moel mining town, where the statues in memory of the town's miners show to all in sundry that there was in fact no white privilege in these hills. They also did the communist graffiti was removed from local lampposts, and one of our more nature inclined activists saw their bounty of last year's seeds flowering with his wildflowers erupting in his garden, doing wonders for the local ecosystem. So that's brilliant. A really busy month for PA Wales.
Okay, and last but certainly not least, there's West Mids and Yorkshire, sorry. West Mids, the Shropshire branch delivered over 1,000 grooming gang leaflets, amazing, at multiple locations in Telford. Activists from the West Midlands, North East and Yorkshire joined the North West for a challenging hike and scramble on Helvellyn in the scenic Lake District. The Staffordshire branch went on a hike through Cannock Chase, where we welcomed new activists. They held a fitness event in Staffordshire, which included circuit training session and a weighted hike during a thunderstorm. That sounds incredible. The West Mids fitness officer hosted the June Fitness Challenge, where regions competed for the strongest one rep max on compound lifts. The West Mids also regularly trained together with local fitness events every month. And finally, West Mids activists met for a lovely day in Shrewsbury. We visited the museums and the local church before stopping off at a nearby restaurant for a meal. Absolutely wonderful work and very well done on the leaflets. That's a good number. And finally, last but not least, is our Yorkshire one. This is another Sam one, so I'll leave this to you, Laura.
So we held a public speaking event at a working men's club in South Leeds. It was well attended and speakers covered the lie of democracy, what kind of communities would succeed in the future and why we fight. The floor was opened at the end for general discussion, which was very productive. We will be doing this again in Hull in July. We'll have the videos up soon. So yeah, that was an event that they opened to the public and allowed anyone to just turn up and ask some questions. It was brilliant. Avid hikers from the five regions, I think it was four regions, came together in the lakes. Oh, no, there was one person from Wales, from five regions, came together in the lakes for a challenging summit of Helvellyn and traversal of Striding Edge. We finished with a shared meal. Some of the more adventurous took a cold dip in the lake and many stayed overnight in a nearby hostel. PA now have a specific vetted mountaineering group that will be organising hikes and scrambles that will really challenge those looking to push themselves. Let your regional organiser know if you'd like to be invited. Embrace the struggle. And then it says, our campaigning in Linton-on-Ouse continues. A small group attended for one final banner drop in front of the RAF base or migrant centre gates, and we also leafleted the entire village with information about who had taken over the official opposition group, why their arguments would ultimately fail, and what they can still do to make a difference. The base looks all set to go ahead, complete with their own NHS centre, so they can get seen to ASAP, a slap in the face to all those on year-long waiting lists. They also attended a lovely village, Fate, in North Yorkshire this past weekend. It had grown after a good turnout last year. Maybe Grandma Towellers will have a stall next year. They enjoyed classic cars, a dog show, carnival games and historic reenactments. And then it also says, join us in York, St Helens Square at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, July the 2nd, for an independently organised demonstration against mass immigration and the Linton plans. If you're in Yorkshire, you have no excuse not to be there. And that's Yorkshire.
Excellent. Well, again, another absolutely packed month. And that brings us to the end of our regular stuff. And now it's time to answer some questions from the audience. So if you sent Super Chats, thank you very much. If you haven't but would still like to contribute, you can do so through Odyssey or Entropy. And you can also send crypto after the show. If you want to support us via the crypto links, you can send us your crypto magic beans. We'll go through the paid ones first. Delta Troisco 125 gave £5 and no question. Thank you very much. 14 Ways gave £5 and said, Hail Victory. Thank you very much. Red Line gave $14. Thank you so much. And said, if PA is not allowed to stand as a political party, maybe you should sue the Electoral Commission. I think it's worth it. And I would donate money to the legal costs. I'm sure many others will. Well, we are going to be taking action one way or another. So keep your ear to the ground about that, because if they knock us back again, we are doing it. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you so much. And she said, why is there endless money for the war in the UK, but not for our people? And now there's going to be a dedicated health service for our illegal replacements. There seems to be bottomless pits of cash for everyone except for the native British. Well, I agree with this. I mean, fundamentally, it's absolutely terrible. You've got people genuinely suffering. You know, petrol's almost doubled in price, which affects almost everything. You've got Tesco's actually removing certain products from the shelf because the prices are rising so quickly. And they're saying, you know, even the supermarkets are saying this is going too far. You've got, 20% VAT, 40% of what you pay at the pump in petrol is tax. And what you're actually seeing here is your average white working person is being taxed to death while migrants are giving it all for free. And if you actually look at the number of houses on some form of benefit in the UK, 52% of households in the UK are on some form of benefits. That means the majority of houses in the UK are taking benefits in some way. This cannot be sustainable. This is something where the people who are working hard, generally your Indigenous Brits, are getting fewer and fewer in number, but they are having more and more to pay for, and eventually it is going to crack. What do you think to this, Laura? It is obviously greatly distasteful that Boris Johnson is constantly flying to the Ukraine and offering them more money when we have so little.
Yeah, I'm surprised that 52% of people are receiving some form of benefits. I wouldn't have guessed that at all. I would have
52% of households, it's not people.
House 52% of households. I would have guessed that it was something like 20%, but that's really shocking. Yeah, Sam and I spoke about this briefly on Tea Time a few weeks ago, and the Conservatives keep saying stuff like, you've got enough money because if you bought these things for £10 for your weekly shop, you could buy these meals. You're just not spending your money properly. And it's like, that isn't the issue. The issue here is that things are getting harder and harder and harder for people. Your quality of life should not be getting worse as we're advancing, like in terms of technology and travel and communication and all this kind of stuff. But things are getting worse for those at the bottom. And they've also, they're giving out like £650 now to everyone because of these rising energy bills and stuff. So it's, and apparently 8 million households are going to get this £650. It's just, where is this money coming from? And we're just in so much debt and they're just making it worse and worse and worse. We already had all the money that they gave away because of all the COVID regulations and stuff, you know, the lockdown to the small businesses and all that kind of stuff. They're just printing money and giving it away and getting in more debt. And it's just, yeah, there's no long-term solution. It's like they just stick a plaster on everything and hope that it fixes it. They're a disgrace. The Tories are a disgrace. In fact, all the major parties are.
Yeah, I've got to say this, you know, it really does sicken me when people say, you say to them, well, the Tories are a disgrace. And they're like, oh, but they're better than Labour. Well, I'm not sure about that. It's almost like every prime minister we have says, hold my beer, I can do worse than the last one. And at the moment, it seems that Boris Johnson is actively trying to do his best to be the worst post-war prime minister. And you've got to say, up until this date, the worst post-war prime minister has to be Tony Blair. But Boris Johnson is giving him a good run for his money. I mean, he really is. You look at the stats on immigration, you look at the state of the economy, you look at what's gone on through COVID. And at this point, people are always going to say, well, Blair at the time set records for immigration and, you know, the Iraq war was the thing. And yes, Blair took us into an illegal war. But that's where Boris is really on his hold my beer, I can outdo Blair, because he's trying to take us into a war against Russia. And I know the war against Iraq was completely illegal and immoral, and British and American soldiers causing up to 1 million Iraqi civilian deaths is absolutely sickening and stomach-churning and completely unjustifiable. But a war with a nuclear-armed superpower would be immeasurably worse. But that's what Johnson seems to want. And I've got to say this, at this point, I think you could toss a coin And if you had Labour on one side and Tories on the other, I'm not really sure it would make any difference which way it would land, because it's like having "you're shafted" written on both sides of the coin, because that's what happens regardless of which one of them gets elected. And some people say, oh, well, the thing is, Mark, Labour would push the anti-white agenda faster. But would they? The Conservatives are the ones pushing through the online harm bill. The Conservatives are the ones that want new policy that's literally going to criminalise any form of debate online. So, yeah, Boris Johnson, utter scum. He is a cancer on Britain. He's a traitor. He's a vile, vile man. And you know, if there's any justice in the world, somebody like Johnson deserves to rot for the rest of his days in a dark, damp prison cell somewhere. Vile man. Pi gave £10. Thank you so much. And says PA will be a great political party. Thank you very much. Rory Herbert gave £3. Thank you so much, my friend. He said 106 years ago today, my grandfather was wounded on the first day of the Somme, serving in the 8th Battalion, King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry. Could we spare a thought for the 19,240 who never returned? Yeah, we can. I mean, we talk about no more brothers' wars, but when you look at what so many were willing to sacrifice for what they thought was the right thing, for what they thought was a way to preserve Britain as a British nation. And you see what's happened to Britain today. Absolutely sickening. What do you think to that, Laura? I mean, I think the thought of all of those young men marching off to war can bring tears to your eyes, especially when you see what their legacy is, or what politicians have done to their legacy.
Yeah, this is another thing that the left, or the far left, have tried to co-opt, saying that all of these people would have disagreed with us because they went to fight against fascism and all of that. I know we're talking about the First World War, but they say both of them would have disagreed with us. These people fought for their people and their country. And my great-granddad and his brother both fought in the First World War. His brother was killed in Palestine. He was shot by a sniper. And speaking to my grandma, these people had exactly the same politics as me. You know, they love their people, they love their country, and they would have been proud of what me and Mark are standing up for, I believe. So I hate this argument where they're like, oh, you know, these people fought against fascism. No, they didn't. They fought for their people and their country. They probably didn't even know what fascism was. They weren't fighting against an ideology. They were fighting to keep their people safe. And it's sad. It's such a sad loss of life. It really is. I think we lost some of our best.
Oh, look, these absolute knobheads who say things like, oh, look, the beaches of Normandy were stormed by Antifa. No, they weren't. If you went back to the First or Second World War and took British soldiers in a time machine forward to today's date, and they saw grooming gangs, cities which have been completely culturally and ethnically transformed, if they saw little boys walking around in dresses saying they were going to cut their penises off, once you'd actually calmed these men down and convinced them that they hadn't actually gone to hell, they weren't actually dead and in hell, they were in a future Britain, once you'd calmed them down and transported them back to the beaches of Normandy, they'd be running up the beaches, you know, waving to the Germans and saying, let's join forces. We need to get rid of both the capitalists and the communists, because otherwise all of our grandchildren are going to be slaughtered. That's the truth. This nonsensical idea that white Britons went to fight for multiculturalism and trans rights and LGBTQ, that's nonsense. And the people who are saying it are liars. They know they're liars. They're absolute scum. The fact of the matter is, our ancestors did not want Britain to become this mess. And I spoke to my granddad, who fought in the Second World War, and I remember him saying, lad, if we all knew what was going to come, what was going to happen in Britain, none of us would have been willing to put our lives on the line for this. None of us would have done this. You know, he was appalled at the state of Britain. He was appalled at seeing his friends go into old people's homes and be treated like dirt. He was appalled to see pensions or pensioners getting meager rises in pensions while people were coming here and being put in hotels and looked after and having everything handed to them on a plate. He was appalled at the way local councils treated local people when, if a migrant family held out their hands and couldn't speak English, the red carpet would be rolled out for them and they'd be handed an interpreter. You know, these people knew. They knew then what was right and wrong. And when they saw what happened to Britain, they knew things had gone terribly wrong. Anyone that says otherwise is basically a liar and somebody who is airbrushing history for their own, you know. They mock us, don't they? And they call us, oh, you're Holocaust deniers. Well, look, guys, we're not denying anything. We're questioning something. You're the deniers. And you're completely deluded if you think that the people storming the beaches of Normandy wanted transgender children at drag queen story hour shaking their butts in lingerie for a group of dribbling homosexual men who are leering over them. No one storming the beaches of Normandy wanted that. The only people who want that are sick, depraved paedophiles. And that is not what British men were, simple as. NatSerto8Q gave $10. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, have a lovely evening, Mark, Laura and family. Thank you very much. St. Harrison gave $3. He says, has Kenny fallen asleep on the sunbed? It's never that hot in the north. Yeah, Kenny says he's opened a sunbed shop and he's caning it. He's really going for it. He's going on Celebrity Love Island next year, so he's getting his tan on. He's going to have a six-pack next.
I was thinking it looks a bit different, but I couldn't figure out what it was. It was a tan, wasn't it?
It was a tan. VM gave £3. Thank you so much. He said, well done, PA, for being the trendsetters. Common detractors will never hold themselves to their own standards nor apply their time to create any better movements to show how it's done. Keep it up. Thank you so much. That is so true. I always love people. One thing I'll say as well about detractors are always at their best when they're completely anonymous and have never done anything for nationalism in their life, but simultaneously manage to operate 10 anonymous Telegram accounts. Yeah, you're not fooling anyone. But thank you for the super chat. And Sally gave £3. Thank you so much. So thank you, Mark and Laura and everybody who played their part. Well, thank you very much. Dave CC gave £10. Thank you. He said, I feel the electoral system is too corrupt. Thank you for your good work. Well, you're certainly correct when it comes to these big parliamentary by-elections, but if you take over the system from the bottom up, it can be done. Stan Wong gave £10, thank you so much, and says, is it true BLM built Newcastle? Seriously, these people are being brainwashed. Yeah, the idea that it was Africans who built Britain, it's not only false, it's not only nonsensical, but it's actually the ultimate form of racism, isn't it? They tell us that we dispossess people of their histories. Well, they're dispossessing us of ours with the nefarious goal of replacing us further down the line. The people pushing this are essentially carrying out the act of genocide and should be punished accordingly. Bill Biz gave $20. Thank you so much. He said, issues like drag queen story hour and CRT indoctrination in public schools have been effective in red pilling many normie parents here in the US as well as Great Britain. Well, that's why. And this is another thing. I love all these groups that pop up that claim to be, you know, for traditional Britain or moral stance or Christianity. We're the only group doing the drag queen story hour protest. We're going to keep doing it anywhere that goes. We will oppose it. We are the ones standing for true moral decency in Britain. British Gammon gave £20. Thank you so much. And he says, do you think they're going to publish the census figures showing the demographic decline of the white British, or will it not be in the public interest? Come on, Laura. I'm waiting for your video on this. This is your school of expertise. I tell you what, these women who've just had babies, they don't do anything, do they? Just sit around twiddling their thumbs. Bloody hell, Laura.
Damn us women for wanting to spend time with our babies. Yeah, Mark phoned me up today and he's like, you need to make a video about the first census results because you're really good at that. And I'm like, okay, I'll try if I get time. But yeah, so the ethnicity part, obviously they're releasing the information from the 2021 census in stages, in different tiers. And I think, if I remember correctly, the ethnicity part is like right at the end. So do I think they'll release the data? Honestly, I'm not sure. Either they will say that it's not in the public's interest and not release it. Or I think they might release it in a way so that it's not really easy to understand. So it might just say like British, and obviously that can include people of other ethnicities, or they might just release it. And then if they do that and they release it honestly, I think they'll celebrate it. And I think they'll plan for the media to all publish the same article celebrating it at the same time. And all of the major political parties will celebrate it too. So I'm not sure. I do think it's going to be bad. I do think we will have dropped in the United Kingdom from just under 82% white British to around 75% white British. Obviously, that's a massive drop in just a decade. But I'm not sure whether they will release it honestly or not. Do you think they will, Mark?
I don't know. This is my take. So these are just figures on the back of a fag packet. They're not the actual figures. We don't have them yet. But think about it like this. The Tories, via this census, are admitting that the population has grown each year over the last decade under their rule by 350,000 people. So that's an additional 350,000 people each year, which is a city the size of Cardiff. That's a lot of people. It's not an insignificant number. But that's not the full story, because you've got to remember immigrants, illegal immigrants, and those who do not speak English are the least likely to fill out the census. So you're going to have a massive underreporting on migration as it is. So you could potentially say that figure might be boosted actually to 400,000. It may be boosted to more. Now, all population growth in Britain, as we know, is driven by two things: migration and birth rates of the migrant community. That's been admitted in Parliament. There's a post on my Telegram explaining that, where this was admitted in the House of Lords. So again, that's not the full issue. If we are seeing a, say, 400,000 increase in our population, we know that's all going to be migrants. But again, it's more like the tip of the iceberg, because that is net migration. That is an increase. Now, there are plenty of white people who flee Britain and move abroad. There are plenty of elderly whites who die. So probably each year you are adding to the population to get that rise, something like 600,000 or more people who aren't white British. Now, some of them might be white Poles. Some of them might be Europeans from other European countries. But obviously, a significant portion of those that are going to be people from the developing or third world. So what I'm suggesting is there could be a very minimum of 350,000 non-whites coming in to Britain every year and settling. And the actual number of migrants, when you include other Europeans or Eastern Europeans, could take that number up well over 500,000. So what we're seeing here is a massive change. Will they report that accurately? Certainly not. Even if we get the numbers, it will be understated due to the factors I mentioned earlier. And finally, I find it really weird they've not released all the data. They must have all the data. They'll have processed it all. Do they usually do this, Laura? Do they usually drip feed this out?
Well, I was not around. Well, obviously I was born, but I wasn't around back in 2011. I was like 20 or something, so I wasn't interested in it back then. So I didn't pay attention to it as it was coming out. It was something that I looked back on in hindsight. So I'm not sure if they released it in parts last time, but Mark is completely right that the census is just best case scenario anyway. It doesn't include illegals. It doesn't include people who won't have filled out the census. I mean, they did send people knocking on people's doors to say, you need to fill this out. But say if there's a house of 8 Pakistanis in Bradford, if one person fills out the form, that's a tick. That house is counted as done, even though 7 people living in that house haven't filled out the form. So it's best case scenario anyway. But it is an indication of where we're heading, and we do cite the figures quite a lot. But yeah, to answer British Gammon's question, I'm not sure if they will be honest about it. I just don't trust the government with anything now.
Agreed. Saturn5 gave £3 and he said, would the panel agree with me that the Tour de France should stay in France and not have stages in other European countries? Is this a watering down of national identity? I think it is. You know what? I've always thought that weird when they've said the Tour de France is starting in Yorkshire or something. I'm like, Yorkshire certainly isn't in France, mate. What's going on? What do you think, Laura? Should the Tour de France start in Yorkshire, or is this madness?
I don't really think it's something that I care about. What is it, a bike race?
Right, Laura, you're not allowed to say anything. Of course it's a bike race. It's the most famous bike race in the world.
I'm not really interested in cycling.
I'm going to answer. I realise that. I thought you'd be interested. It sort of happened in Yorkshire one year, and you love everything about Yorkshire, like your Yorkshire bloody cheerleader. Anyway, why does the Tour de France start in other countries? The start of the course is known as the Grand Depart. Since the 1950s, it has typically taken place in a different town each year. And since the 70s, it's been common to award the Grand Depart to cities outside France as a way of increasing national interest in competition and the sport. So basically, it's just a big publicity stunt. Probably should stay in France, or it's not really the Tour de France, is it? You know, it's sort of in the name, isn't it? I suppose. Anyway, Tall Kevin 87 gave $27. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, "Oi, let's liven the mood. It's a Friday night. Hope all in the chat are great. Random question, but could you both give an impromptu review of Roger Moore in the 007 series? Do you think the start of him in that role was a deliberate shift to pandering to audience who can barely read, let alone and know who he is?" That's the most random question. Laura's not going to be able to answer that. I am. As a kid, my favourite Bond was Roger Moore. I love the Roger Moore Bonds. I grew up watching Bond on ITV in the afternoon or evening. I thought the Sean Connery ones were boring, but the Roger Moore ones always had loads of action. They were dead fun. I thought he was a good Bond, but I thought it was a shift in that they were more lighthearted. But then he did do non-lighthearted ones and more serious ones. The Moore ones were a bit of a mix, and I've got to admit, I quite enjoyed them. I even enjoyed View to a Kill, and people panned that. And I will say this, the Roger Moore film, I believe it's The Man with the Golden Gun, has the single best real-life car stunt that I think's ever been pulled off in any film ever. It's the one where they go over a ramp and the car flips, turns over in the air, lands on its wheels and just carries on. And a stuntman actually pulled that off, did it for real. It was a one-shot thing. If it had failed, the stuntman would have probably been dead, or the car would have been ruined and the ramp destroyed. And he pulled it off. Absolutely incredible piece of stunt work. And the sad thing is they ruined the stunt by putting a comical noise over it, which always really annoys me and should be edited out of future future pressings of that film, because it is possibly the greatest car stunt of all time. So there's my Roger Moore take. What's your take on Roger Moore's James Bond? Look, you're looking very bored. I'm expecting you to either start knitting or yawn at this point. Go ahead.
Tell yawning. Us the chat keeps saying that I keep yawning, but it's not because I'm bored. I just haven't slept in 6 months. But we had this conversation on Pier Film Club because we did a James Bond film. So we went into it in depth on Pier Film Club.
We did, and the next PA Film Club is going to be my most hated zombie film, 28 Days Later, which is absolute anti-white crap. So I look forward to that. We've got some non-paid questions. The Nationalist Awakening 14 is giving Laura orders. He says, "Laura, stop yawning. You're irritating me. Also, the website needs a search bar. Get it done tonight and do some work." No, he didn't say any of those things. He didn't say that.
You liar.
I was joking. I was just trying to wind you up. He says the PA website needs a search bar, and it probably does. Make it happen, web team. Make it happen. VM said, to solve the splitting the nationalist vote problem, should we be forming a large populist party coalition? This would ensure there is a single box per area for the nationalist vote. I think brutal survival of the fittest will solve this problem. Rouse yourself from slumber. He said, how would PA deal with the cost of living crisis? Do you want to answer this, Laura, or do you want me to?
Oh, God, that's a huge question. But I think the obvious one is we'd stop this ever-expanding population. I think it's something like 86% of population growth comes from immigration, whether that's direct immigration or the descendants of immigrants. And I think this is obviously having a terrible impact on all sorts of things in the United Kingdom, not just in an economic sense, but an environmental sense is another one. And then an education sense, where our kids are going to school and there are people in the class who don't have the same language as them. It just impacts everything. So I think that's, you know, obviously the big issue that we would tackle, but that's a huge question. We could talk about it for hours.
Well, firstly, we need to reduce our population, and we know how we'd do that. That's a big one. Secondly, we need to stop paying our farmers not to produce food. Britain does not need to rely on globalist supply chains. We can make it ourselves at home. We also, once we've got rid of large numbers of sponges, we need to ensure that the benefit system is completely overhauled. A large problem we have is inflation. Printing money doesn't work. People on benefits need to go back to work, whether they're white or otherwise. And as there'll be mainly white people left when we were in power, that means families where three or more generations have never worked, they're going to work. The benefit system is no longer going to be a hammock, but a safety net, as it was intended to be. If people fall on hard times, we look after them. If people want to sit in the hammock forever, getting free money, it gets cut off. There would be serious, serious measures to overhaul the benefit system at all levels. Once you have people in work and earning money, people must be incentivized or educated to spend their money wisely. Unfortunately, we no longer have home economics. We no longer have men and women who can cook a meal from scratch with mince, potatoes, carrots, broccoli, peas. We don't have people growing things in their gardens anymore. There has to be a re-education of our people in how to do basic things and look after themselves. Because I'm not saying the cost of living crisis is all the fault of the people, but there are too many people who live off takeaways and junk food. And if we still had a proper education system that prepared people for the real world, people would know how to make a shepherd's pie. They'd know how to grow food in their gardens. You know, we've started growing our own vegetables. It can be done. My grandparents grew all their own vegetables. My dad grew vegetables when we were young. We used to pick them fresh on Sunday morning before Sunday dinner. It can be done. But we have to focus not just on getting rid of an aggressive migrant population that takes us for a ride, but we also must raise up our own people, re-educate them, and ultimately we must deal with benefit scroungers of all racial groups, because we cannot be a nation where we have vast, vast numbers of people doing nothing, living off the hard work of a few, and money just being printed every month and given out for free. If we do that, we will end up with hyperinflation and the system collapsing in on themselves. It's very, very simple, really. You know, I know Tories use stupid phrases like back to basics, but we do need to take things back a step and problems would sort themselves. Kel said,
I think we would promote self-sufficiency at an individual level, but also at a national level as well, instead of us relying on foreign countries for imports and exports, which is worse for the environment anyway. We'd want to be able to stand on our own two feet as much as possible, but then also at an individual level. Me and Sam moved into a house with a garden a few months ago, and we grow all our own vegetables now, and it's so easy. You know, one of the things that we've got is lettuce. We bought a packet of lettuce seeds for £1, and we've now got lettuce for the whole of summer, because it's just one of those ones where you pull a bit out and then it grows back. So £1 for lettuce for the whole summer, it's cheap. Obviously it's not covered in all these chemicals and stuff, because it's just grown in our garden, and it tastes nicer. It just tastes really fresh. So this is stuff that we should be encouraging people to do, and also teaching people about as well, I think.
Yeah, and it's also fun. Your kids will love doing it. Sophia loves planting things in the garden. She loves seeing them sprout up. She loves investigating them and checking on them. It brings you closer to nature. There are ways to make things better, and they can be done on both the macro and the micro level. I'd love to do a whole show on the cost of living crisis, but you'd probably all be bored and I'd be rambling like this for 3 hours to a handful of viewers. I do have some other shows coming up soon. We've got another show with Robin Tilbrook coming up soon. We've got a Muslim cleric who wants to talk to us. And we've got some other things like that that are a bit sort of a bit different. Anyway, Kel said, what are the main functions of a counsellor? What would a PA counsellor actually do? Well, the main function of a counsellor is to take local people's grievances to the council and make their lives better. It's a matter of listening and working with local people to help improve their lives and give them representation. The Nationalist Awakening 14 said, Mark, any plans to do a review of Top Gun Maverick in the future? Apparently it has zero woke propaganda in it.
Well, we could do if people want it. I've got a surprise for people this month on Film Club. Rouse Yourself From Your Slumber said, fascinating how the government can lock down the country with ease over a virus, but can't get hold of grooming gangs or mass immigration, isn't it? Well, I said this at the time, mate. You know, the government deployed gunboats and naval support units to ensure people weren't sunbathing on the beach. Where are the gunboats and naval support units to stop the invasion of Britain? Oh, yeah, they're in the harbour because the government doesn't care about that. VM said, will you be pestering the internet? Pestering? Will I be politely asking the international friends of PA to get involved with White Lives Matter? We will. And finally, TorKevin87 says, slappers only or the golden gun? What do you pick? Neither. I was never allowed to play GoldenEye because I was ostracized from childhood friends because I was poor. That's an awful story. Everyone played GoldenEye when they was a kid. I used to like Golden Gun. I didn't like slappers only. Laura's lost. She doesn't know what we're talking about. Tor Kevin knows what. Tor Kevin's talking about GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64, a classic.
So, what, slappers only?
It was, well, Bond always does like a karate chop. So all you could do was karate chop people, and it was just called slappers only. It was a joke. It just meant you could only use hand-to-hand combat. Some people will be loving this chat. Laura's lost. She's thinking, get this over with. I'm knackered as it is.
There's some on Odyssey, you know.
I know. I'm doing those next. Dinkelberg gave 3 Odyssey tokens. Thank you so much. She said, we in the US watched as our elections were hijacked all the same. White people awake. Well, yeah, but we have to do our best. I can't pronounce your name, mate. Sorry. He gave 1 Odyssey token and he said, a pittance for your cause, which though I live far from Britain, is my cause too. Love to watch Mark and Laura. Thank you so much, my friend. And sorry I can't pronounce your name. It sounds like Greek. Laura, can you pronounce his name?
I think, is it that Diogenes, I guess? I'm not sure.
Do you know what? I'm going to say Google pronounce and see what it says. Google pronouns. Right. Let's see. Let's see how you pronounce it. It sounds like this. Diogenes. That's it. Diogenes. That took too long just to get his name right. But I got it right. Ree Johnson, thank you so much. Gave $5. Says, here's to the free drink and cheeseburger fun. Let's keep Mark's computer clean and tidy. Thank you very much. Stan Wong gave 40 Odyssey tokens. Thank you very much. Said, isn't Johnson a fully paid member of the Sabbatean sect? I believe he is part Jewish and part Turkish. And interestingly, he recently stated he wants to restart the EU in a new form, but with Turkey and Israel as members. Who'd know? Who'd know? And 1488 from Michael57DE. Thank you so much, my friend. He says, so, Mark, the only real James Bond was Sean Connery. The one, the only, the original. Hail the gods, hail our folk. Well, I think, Michael, we can all agree that the worst James Bond was Daniel Craig, an emotional, simpering, pointless state who got upstaged by a black woman. For shame. And that brings us to the end of all our super chats and questions. So it has been an entertaining night. I hope you've all enjoyed the stream. Laura, did you enjoy the stream?
I did. It's my favourite stream of the month. I love the PA monthly update. It was fun, as usual.
Stream of the month. My favourite stream of the month is on Sunday. The Nationalist A-Team. Me, Sam Barclay and the Patriarch will be playing... we'll be playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, trying not to fall out. And I tell you this now, if they play as badly as they did the other Sunday, I am finally going to lose my temper and you're going to hear a keyboard snapped across my knee. Oh, the fun we will be having. So that's what we're doing on Sunday. Remember, there is a protest in York tomorrow. PA supporters and activists will be there. Please, 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 if you can make it, go along. And I hope you enjoyed the stream. If you donated, thank you very much for your generosity. And if you watched, thank you for being part of our community. We love you all very much. And we hope you take part in future events, especially White Lives Matter. But because Laura is so tired, I'm going to give her the final say. Take it away, Laura.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. And thanks, everyone, for being here. And we have some really big things happening over the next few months. So if you don't follow, if you don't follow us on Telegram and Gab, or if you haven't bookmarked our website, do that. And also, if you're not involved with your Patriotic Alternative group, get involved with your region. Didn't Morgoth say last night that he's getting involved now?
I think Morgoth went to an event today. There was a fishing event in the northeast out on the sea boat, and Morgoth said he was going. He did quietly inform me that people expect him to be a better fisherman than he is, though. So he was quite nervous. You know, I get nervous when I'm doing some gaming and I'm like, am I going to mess it up in front of an audience? Well, I think everyone was expecting him to go out there and catch like a sea monster. And he was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to live up to the hype here, Mark. But yeah, Morgoth is now involved.
That made me laugh. But yeah, just get involved with your regional group. I'm like quite a shy person and I'm not a social person, but I love it. I love the people who are involved with Pierre. So go to the website and get signed up. But yeah, I hope everyone has a lovely weekend, and I'll be back on Monday with Sam at 7 o'clock for tea time with Sam and Laura. And also, if you want to support me and Sam, you can buy some tea or coffee from grandmatowlers.co.uk. And we also now have Faithful Hound honeys and syrups available on our website. So that's another business that we're supporting, and you can purchase that through Grandma Towlers. But yeah, have a good weekend, everyone, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, and same from me. Have a lovely weekend. Hopefully I'll see you on Sunday night, 7 p.m. from the Nationalist A-Team. Until then, stay strong, keep fighting. Hope you're out of the PA activity over the weekend, and I'll see you all again very soon. Thank you and good night, guys.